for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Saturday evening, July the 3rd, 2010. Angelo Rosario is the speaker of this service, teaching on Heaven and Earth.
I'd like to introduce my friend, Rosario, a godly man. I've only known him a couple of years, but he loves Jesus. He's a powerful preacher, a powerful deliverance minister. He has a church in New York City, and I don't know the name of it, but one of these days...
Church of God's Children. You got to come down.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Rosario?
Bless you.
Praise God. God bless each and every one of us. And may the blessings of the Lord would extend from here all the way to your home, to your family, your friends, and to everyone that you will meet in your journey through life. Because most of all, we should be a blessing to everyone, even to our enemies. They must be able to see Christ through us. I always believe that Christ is more than a religion. He is a man that's alive and well. He is more than a building. He is an individual that walks among the living because He rose from within the dead. He is one that tries to teach us about a peaceful world that we all need. I believe that He has torn down all the barriers of religion and race and has brought us into the oneness of His love, the oneness of deliverance, the oneness of peace, the oneness of hope. When the world was without hope, God sent Jesus, the God-man in the flesh, the only God-man in the flesh. No other man they could call God. But Jesus, that was the Son of the living God, became man. And He became God in the flesh. Gave His life, not for religion, but for the whole world. So that the world's religions could understand that He was the way, the truth, and the life. Not another doctrine, but He showed us how to live a life of love and compassion for all mankind. And that's what I believe that God is going to give us back. He gave us authority over all the principalities of the enemy. My prayers continuously have been answered. Seeing my oldest daughter here today, Margie, and their pastors in Yonkers. They were up in Houston for a while. And my daughter, Angela, my youngest daughter, playing the piano, it moves my heart.
Amen.
My first daughter was born in the Lord. If it wasn't because God had saved me, she probably would have been in jail too with me. Because she's just as bad as I am, but God changed me. But didn't give her a chance to understand how the world is. And my next prayer is, I had a vision over here when I first came where I saw all my daughters, my eight daughters here singing and praising the Lord, and my two sons, and my 23 grandchildren. And they're all in the Lord, and they all sing, and they all play. And my other daughter, Becky, is pastoring where my daughter is the worship leader now with her. And my middle daughter, that after her, is also the co-pastor of the church in the Bronx. So, you know, God has given me daughters that married men that are in ministry also. But I believe that my daughters are the ones that got the calling. You know what I'm saying? Their husbands are good, but my daughters all have a calling. They preach. They testify. This is the one I testify here for many times that I came about. Our grandson that passed away, that he was 13 years old. And she went through a lot of trials and dealing with that situation like any good parent or grandparent. And we prayed here. And the Lord heard our prayers. And one day the Lord said, you know what? He suffered enough. And so she suffered enough. And we suffered enough. And the Lord said, I'm going to take him home. And he's in a place better than this world. Because he's dwelling in the presence of the Lord. And then he took home another granddaughter that belongs to my youngest daughter. My other youngest daughter, this is the baby of the house, is Angela, but we have one that comes just before her. And she lost a daughter, 7 years old. But she didn't lose her because we know where she's at. She's in the presence of the Lord. And from that, that gave birth to a ministry and a church. God has created another church that they have about maybe 40 or 50 young people that are in that particular church. In the South Bronx. In the Bronx. The greatest place in the world. The Bronx.
Right?
Where the Lord, in His infinite mercy, continues to move. And why am I saying these things? Because my children were raised in the Lord. They didn't have it easy because I was a little strict with them. Yeah, you know, my daughter looking at me like, you know, a little. I'm more lenient now. But you know, the God anointed them to be able to preach, to teach, to be able to sing and glorify God. And their children are doing the same thing. And their children's children, which are my great-grandchildren, are doing the same thing. So in the midst of whatever evil is around, in the midst of drugs and alcoholism, gangs, and all these things that are around, God is able to keep your children. You got to dare to believe. You see, I was not born in the Lord. I wasn't born with a Bible in my hand, maybe a gun and a knife, but not a Bible. But one day I met someone named Jesus that changed my whole life. And I learned the other day that my spiritual mother just passed away 2 weeks ago. She was 91 years old. She went home to be with the Lord. And I remember being up on the roof of the tenement where we lived. And she used to live on the top floor, and I'd be getting high up on the roof. And she'd be lifting her hands up to God because her son was a gang leader. And he was my best friend. And we ran the gang together. And she would be praying for him and me. And you know that one day in September, the 22nd of September, his birthday, September 26th, my birthday, God grabbed us and brought us into the Lord. 19 years old. God created a miracle. Now she went home to be with the Lord, and I was doing theology, and I said, you know what? If it wasn't because of her, where would I be? And if it wasn't because of her, where would my children be? And if it wasn't because of her, where would my grandchildren be? And if it wasn't because of her, where would my great-grandchildren be? And where would be all the members that are in her church and in my other daughter's church? You see, because God has people that He has called. But in the midst of the calling, in the midst of your walk with God and the reality of God, there are battles. This is a spiritual warfare. You're fighting against things you don't see. You could go to bed healthy now and wake up sick tomorrow. There are invisible things that are traveling in your DNA right now. But there's someone that is out there that is able to create a battle ground to give you victory over all the principalities of that. You see, that's more than religion. I remember getting high, but I can't compare to getting high in Christ through the Spirit of God. I remember getting drunk, but I can't compare being drunk in the Spirit of God. And the Apostle Paul said, do not get high on wine that brings dissolution. Get high in the Spirit of God. There's a difference. I know both of them. I had to choose one or the other. I liked the other one. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it. But I found a drink that was better than vodka, that was better than gin. His name is Jesus. I drank of the fountain of life. And God gave me a joy that surpasses all other joys. That's what God is all about. It's not about a religion. The world's full of religion. Every day, a new religion pops up. But where's the love of God? The Apostle Luke writes in Luke's in chapter 10, a chapter and a verse that everybody loves so much, and I love it. Verse 17. And it talks about the 70 coming back to the Lord. Just remember the story, but you know, when you go home, you take a look at it and you read it. And try to meditate it. And try to see this beautiful masterpiece that is going to come before you. Of a man that was a Puerto Rican. His name was Jesus Christ. I'm giving you something new. I know you didn't know that Jesus was Puerto Rican. I want you to know the truth is going to set you free. See, Jesus was a Greek. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Muslim. Jesus was a Buddhist. Jesus was Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That when you come to me, Jesus, all those other names, they fall off. All those other races, they fall off. And Jesus becomes the King of Kings in our lives. There's a transformation. There's something that changes in us. But look what he says. And the 70 return again with joy. Ain't that a wonderful thing? They return real happy. Ain't it nice to be happy? Your bubble's going to be busted in a couple of minutes. Isn't it nice when you're happy and everything is going well and you say something and somebody busts your bubble? Somebody says, you know, you got to be careful. Because I saw the enemy descending from heaven like lightning. You're doing God's work in your joy. Get ready because he's going to try to throw the kitchen sink at you. You're challenging him? He's going to challenge you back to see who you really are, to see where you're really standing, to see if you really believe what you say you believe. If you really trust in him that has called you. Not only when everything is good. Not only when you're rejoicing. When things are bad, can you stand there and say, I know that my Redeemer lives. When things get dark and the storm is upon you, can you really cry out and say, Lord, thank you because you are the strength of my life. When you don't have what to eat, can you say, Lord, you are the bread of heaven that descends from heaven, hallelujah, and I eat of that bread. Your bubble could be busted very easy. Many of us believers go through those trials and tribulations where everything is okay. But wait for the storm. The storm will come. There are cloudy days and there are stormy days. But if you dress properly and stay in the house, you will be okay. If you fear the weather and know and prepare yourself and get your boots on, you know that you're going to be all right. If it gets too cold, make sure that you have a coat on so that you can protect yourself from the elements. The days of problems and difficulty that the enemy is going to come against you, he's going to come. He's going to come to try to take what you have, your joy, your wife, your children, your peace, your money, whatever you have, your business, he's going to try. And you hear what I said? He's going to try, but he can't take it. It's not his. But you got to be willing to what? To keep the joy. Because your joy is the joy of your salvation. Of your hope. Of who you know he is. Not a religion. God is more than that. God is your provider. God is your protector. When everything falls apart, like remember Joseph being in prison? And he was in there and he kept his faith. Can you keep your faith? When you have a little toe that hurts, and you haven't been put in prison, but your little toe hurts, can you keep in prison your peace and your joy? I like to rejoice when everything is good. But every time I came down to Texas at the beginning, something negative would happen. I come to Texas to do spiritual warfare that I've been doing for over 35 years. I ain't going to say your age, Margie, but I'll leave that alone. Since before Margie was born, we were doing spiritual warfare. She's half my age. So I'm not going to say her age because then I say mine soon. But I don't mind. I'm 60, be 66 my next birthday. So you figure out her age now. But all those years, I've done spiritual warfare. My pastor done spiritual warfare. We have seen demons being cast out of people. My daughters are all in spiritual warfare. Not just have they preached it, they have lived it. When she was about 15 years old, I testified this year when I first came that had a pastor, African-American pastor, a good friend of mine, was preaching and a demon manifested. And the first one that got her, she was young. She was about 15 years old, right? Less than that? How old? 13 years old. And they were praying in the pastor. I told him, you better cast that out. That's my daughter. And he jumped out of his seat and threw himself on his knees and didn't dare. He was a good preacher. But he didn't know nothing about casting out demons. Setting people free. And I had to get up and go cast it out. When I cast it out of her, it got my other daughter, Sylvia, the one that comes right after her. When I cast it out of her, it got the missionary son, Elijah. Cast it out of him. He's in Pennsylvania. Why was God doing? He was teaching the children and the teenager that this is real. That this is something that sometimes you have to experience and understand, that you don't play and you have to be in communion and keep your meditation on the Lord when these things are being cast out. Because they're always looking to get into somebody's body. They don't like to be out there by themselves. Well, the apostles were learning. It's a terrible thing when you're learning how to cast out demons. If you don't know, don't worry about it. God forbid something happens, don't worry about it. God is just teaching you that this is that real. That you are going to be able to be more victorious. And you're going to understand not only through the reading of the book, but through the experiences that you are going to have. I want you to know that God is real and these things are real too. They come back and they say, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us throughout thy name. See, the name of Jesus has power. My name has power. My name is Angel Martin Rosario Cebollero Sanchez Vasquez Arroyo Cortez Mejia. And if you remember all that, you could go to the bank and claim it.
Glory.
You know why? You know why I know that? Because I had to research my family tree in order to do warfare. It gets my background. It gets the four generational curses that I had to break, so I had to be able to research who they were and what they done and where they were living and what type of life did they have. Some of them were alcoholics. Some of them were drug addicts. Some of them were doctors. Some of them were lawyers. Some of them were witches. And they lived that life. So that means that in my DNA, these things were coming up. Some of them were boxers and fighters. I used to love to fight. I needed Jesus. I still need Jesus. Because without Jesus, I'd be doing all those other things. You think that you're good because you want to be good? You think that you're faithful to God because you want to be faithful? You think you're faithful to your spouse because you want to be faithful? You think that you're faithful to your leader because you want to be faithful? No, my brothers. You and I are faithful because God is faithful in us and is teaching us how to be faithful. The devil became unfaithful to God. You see, we got Independence Day coming. There was a civil war in heaven. There was a civil war in heaven and the enemy got kicked out. He got put out. And we're still fighting him because any time that he hears the name of God in your heart, he wants you. He wants to fight against you. But there's a day, at the moment that you start to preach and teach the word of God and live in the light, here's what's going to happen. Verse 18. And he said unto them, Behold, Satan hath lightened, fallen from heaven. As soon as you're doing God's word and you're trying to live right, the enemy tries to come to tear you down. As soon as you start to walk that walk, you didn't have the temptation that great. Now it becomes greater until you learn how to fight it off and talk to yourself. Because in your flesh dwells nothing good. And your flesh cannot submit to God and it doesn't want to. So that means that continuously you got to be here at 6 o'clock in the morning. To be able to what? To pray. To prepare yourself. You got to tell your flesh you're going to pray. The flesh wants to sleep. I may say sleep at any time. But the flesh wants to sleep. The flesh does not want to seek out after God. See, the flesh, all it wants is favor. It wants what it wants. You and I have to control it. And this is what's going to happen. Behold, I give unto you power. How many like power? A little bit of power in the wrong hands is a very dangerous thing, ain't it? I'm telling you. A little bit of power in the wrong hands of a police officer is dangerous. A little bit of power in the wrong hands of a minister is dangerous. There's spiritual abuse. And the enemy brings that. You see, us ministers have been called to be able to heal those that are brokenhearted. To mend those hearts, to help them. He didn't tell us to help those that are healed already. They're healed. They don't need it. They better go out and heal somebody else. They better give freely what they have received freely. When you and I have the Lord in our lives, we have a battle against the enemy continuously and his fallen angels that are always around us trying to destroy. Have you ever gone around where the churches and you see a church and there's a Spanish church in the building. Sometimes there's a black church in the building and a white church in the building. You ever seen three congregations in one building? And when they come out of the church, none of them talk to each other. And then they use the word, they don't look like me. Well, nobody look like you. Nobody is as ugly as you are.
Come on, brother.
The only good looking thing that you got is Jesus in you. If you can't love the one in the morning and the one in the afternoon and the one at evening, there's something wrong with our walk with God. Because Christ told us to love one another. And you see, the enemy will put little patterns inside of our mind that says, they don't look like you. And you know what? Nobody looks like me. God made me the most handsome man in the world. There's nobody else like me. There's nobody else like you. God made you very unique. No other fingerprints like yours. No other nose like yours. No matter what all the plastic surgery that they may want to give, no one can get what you have. Because God made you very unique. And you may think you're too fat or too skinny or too ugly or too beautiful, but God made you that way. That's why you got a husband, no matter how ugly you are. And you got a wife, no matter how ugly you are. Ain't God good? God is good. I've seen some ugly men with a beautiful woman. You ever seen them? And they have beautiful children. And I couldn't get that. Thank God for the beautiful wife that the Lord gave me. I better say that, right?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I may be crazy, but I'm not stupid. What God gives us is joy. He gives us power. What kind of power? Power to be an overcomer. Not just power to heal the sick. Power to be victorious over the battles and emotions that may be in your life. Power to be able to destroy the powers of the enemy that comes against you daily. You don't want to do wrong. You don't want to sin. You don't want to make mistakes. But God has given you power to talk to that emotion and tell it, you got to go. You don't belong here in Jesus' name. You got to be able to talk to yourself. You see, David talked to himself many times. I think he was crazy. Because he said, bless the Lord, my soul. Ain't that something? He was talking to himself. Sometimes we got to talk to ourselves. You see, when I was growing up, I didn't think I was that handsome. So I used to worry about it. One day I looked in the mirror and I talked to myself. I said, don't worry how you look, angel. You're good looking anyway. And then I would look at myself again. You're lying to yourself. And then I came back and I said, no, I'm not. Because I've been born again. And what God makes is beautiful. What God rebuilt is beautiful. What God rebuilt is perfect. Blessed be God. Then I saw the inner beauty. I had to look deep, but I found it. God is a good God. He makes you feel good about yourself. You know that 90% of the people are losing their salvation because they don't feel good about themselves. And the question they ask is, why doesn't my husband love me? Why doesn't my wife love me? Because there's a battle that you want to be accepted by men and women before you are accepted by God. Because when God accepts you, there's a transformation that takes place. There's a blessing that changes your whole mannerism. It changes the way you talk to that woman or to that man. Your attitude starts to change. God starts to mold you and shape you. Blessed be God. So that the power of love and peace and tranquility starts to manifest. That the devil got to run out. You see, but he runs out of us first before he runs out of anybody else. Some Christians got an ugly attitude. And they wonder why. But I'm a Christian. You got to ask God to mold you, baby. You got to ask God to mold that face. You look like you've been sucking on a lemon. There's something wrong. You need the help of God. You go home and you walk into the house and you forget to tell your wife, baby, God bless you, how you doing today? You walk into the house and you're so demanding that she can't stand you. Matter of fact, she hopes that you don't come through that door. She's probably praying, Lord, let another man come in through that door. Is that a good prayer? No, I believe it is. I don't care how you look at it, I believe it is. Because the other man is going to be transformed by the power of God. There's a new man coming in the house. There's a new David coming in the house. There's a new Solomon coming in the house. He's coming in either. What happened to my man? You're bringing me flowers and telling me how good I look, and I didn't even make my hair up. There's a new man coming in. There's a new wife coming in. A woman that has been transformed with the power of God. Instead of being hateful, she's full of love and compassion. There's understanding. Honey, there's coffee on the table. Honey, there's food on the table. Before I say, take it yourself if you want it. If you don't like it, don't eat it. The power of God transforms the home. Transforms the woman. There's a new woman in the house. There's a new man in the house. Why? Because the power of God is making a difference. See, it ain't about you changing. It's about God changing us and us allowing Him to change us. Because there's a lot of devil's things in us that need to die every day. Every day you got to ask God, make me over. Make me better than what I am. Because the thing that I want to do, I don't do. And the thing that I don't want to do, that I do. When was the last time you looked at your mate and said, wow, you look good, baby? You could lie a little. That's a lie that's accepted. It's safe. That's powerful. Because let me tell you something. When you start to see things with the eyes of the Spirit, no matter how much the person changes, you will always see the person you first met. You get a flashback. Because you're looking and then somebody else is looking at your pot belly too. You don't have those abs no more like me. Gotta put it in. Everyone is changing. But when you look at the person that you love, that person never changes. You see, Christ never changes. He says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a non-changing God. He has the power to be forever the same. I have a message that I teach on forever young. Isn't that amazing to be forever young? Oh my God. And I look at it and say, the Lord is renewing me inside every day. I can't wait till I wake up and the person that is being renewed inside of me come out. Oh, with that perfect body. Good Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, I could give you a message so you don't smile and you don't laugh and you walk out of here with a face as long as that. I love Jesus. You better have some joy in your life because the Spirit of God, what it gives is joy. But it's giving you what? Power. How many like power? Oh, I love power. I do push-ups every morning. Every morning when I get up, I do push-ups. I just don't get on the floor. I think about it. Yeah, shifting. I'm thinking about it. Because God is the joy of what? Of my salvation. It is amazing. It is amazing. Power is the power of the mind. God said that He will give us a new mind. A mind that is new and renewed with the power of understanding. Hallelujah. Will never let you down. No matter how bad it gets, your mind will renew itself and say, I got an answer. I got an answer for this problem. The blood of Jesus is against you. I got an answer for this problem. God has a new body for me. I got an answer for this problem. Even though I'm forgetting many things, God has given me a new mind. God is going to renew my understanding. I got an answer for you. Oh, Satan, you have no power, no authority over me because God has given me authority from here to eternity. Blessed be God. Hey, hallelujah. Woo, that's more than religion. That's more than just praying. See, prayer has a mystery. Prayer is believing God for what He has said and thanking Him before you get it. When you start to believe your prayers, you start to act like you believe it. When you start to believe your prayers and trust on the God that has called you, you start to walk that way. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But let me relax. I get caught up. I get caught up and I forget what I'm doing. But behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And I love this one. I love all the alls. My wife tells me, I love you all. I said, you love my hair? I love you all. You love my eyes? I love you all. You love my nose? I love you all. You love my smelly feet? I love you all. But she says, go wash them. And God may hate the sin in us. And He tells us, go wash in the blood of the Lamb. He goes, I have given you what? Power and authority. Over all the principalities. Of who? The enemy. Because the enemy makes us think different. But God makes us think correct. You see, I was trying to figure out, and I got verses and everything here in Ephesians, and we're going to leave that for another time, another year when I come back, to show you the grace of God. How God's grace is what? Sufficient. Grace is what saved us. Grace is what keeps us. Grace is what delivers us. Grace is what puts a smile in our face. Grace is what makes us look beautiful. You know, a person can be beautiful on the outside and ugly in the inside. Boy, when I was young, in my years of youth, I met this young lady. She was beautiful. Boy, when she opened up her mouth, I said, oh my God, no, you go with my friend. I don't want you. That girl had a mouth on her that would scare Satan himself. Very foul mouth, but you had a beautiful face. She didn't even know how to boil water, and I like to eat. She didn't even know how to fry an egg correctly. And now she said, but I'm beautiful. I said, yeah, you're beautiful, but go with him. Me on Hamdidat. You know what that means? Sorry about that. I learned that in Korea. We have to be able to understand that we are in love with Christ. Christ is a beautiful individual. He's not a building. He's not a pulpit either. He's not a car. He's not even a Bible. Because He is the Bible. He is the Word, the incarnated Word of God. He is the one that gives us peace in every moment. No matter what difficult times you're going through, you don't even have to act for anything. All you got to do is believe everything. You know what the word says? For he that believes, all things are what? Are possible. But how can you believe if you don't know what the book says? How can you believe if you do not study to find yourself approved with the word? But when you start to believe what the word of God says, that he says, don't worry about it. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. Do you believe that? Why we complain so much? Why don't we ask the Lord, Lord, thank you for being with me through the trial. That's why I like the footprints in the sand. I love that. Because the Lord have carried me many, many, many miles, many a times. We need to be able to trust that the Lord has given us this authority, this power over all the powers of the enemy. He comes in every different ways to try to destroy us and to steal our hope and our faith. When Mother Diaz was passing away, she was 91 years old, and all of a sudden she got cancer, and it took her kidneys and her liver, and she lasted, I think, a month in the hospital, but she didn't suffer. She went quick. And when we go to the hospital, and they had her medicated at Calvary, and she loved singing to the Lord and praising. She had an accordion she would carry. She was with the Lord since 1943, and she was take that accordion wherever she would go and play and praise God. She had this old hymn book that she wrote her own song. She was always singing, always singing. If anybody was not singing, she would get up and she would go. She loved singing. When we went to the hospital, she couldn't talk anymore or anything. She would go, ooh, 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 ooh. She would lift up her hands, praising God. In the midst of her going home party, we had a going home party, not crying, because we know that I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? And if you're dwelling somewhere, can you be dead? Watch it now. How God helps us to even know that we are all born to die, but we die to live. That we're going to live for eternity. I don't care what any domination says or whatever the doctrine. The Word says that I will live forever. That Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The devil can't stop me in my grave. He can't stop me in this world. That's who you live with. This ain't about what denomination or whatever. What does the Word say? How do we embody that Word? That the enemy can't come. He quotes Word Bible too. He twists it around a little. But let me finish this up because I know you want to go to sleep. But you could go to sleep tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You sleep too much anyway. You need to be able to stay up a little. See, my daughters, they used to stay up in the church till 11, 12 o'clock at night. 7 days a week, and they had to go to school. Sometimes I had to drive. I was the bus driver at my church. So I pick up the people, bring them to church. Then I take them home. And these poor little girls, they were sleeping in the back. One day I forgot one of them in the bus. And I'm looking all over the house. Where's Becky? Where's Becky? I can't find Becky. Marilyn. And I run and I go to the van and I don't see him. And I get in the van and I drive all the way back to the church. 45 minutes. And I open the church. Marilyn, Marilyn, where are you? I can't find Marilyn. Come back to the van and I open the door. She was sleeping underneath the seat. That's what pastors have to deal with. There is a battle to be won. We used to be on the radio station from 12 o'clock night, midnight, to 4 o'clock in the morning. They used to go with me. They used to sing. They used to preach at 13, 14 years old. Where would they sleep? Right on the floor. As we were preaching and testifying and counseling to the radio, they were listening. Even when they were asleep, they were listening to the Word of God. While they were sleeping, God was feeding their little minds. When I was going to the church to pray and lock myself up, that young lady there, that now she would go with me when she was a little girl. And she would kneel down by my side and pray. And I could feel her little arm on my right hand side. Because she, for whatever reason, she would always pray on this side. And she would stop praying. And she would start crying. And the Lord baptized her with the Holy Spirit. One day I come home and I said, I was preaching out in Brooklyn. I come home and I'm praying, Lord, give my daughter an experience with you. I want an experience. I just don't want them to know the Word. And I just have come home from a great revival and she jumped up to get some cornflakes and left the door open. And when she jumped up, it caught her on the top of her head. And blood was shooting all out. I just walking into the house. Revival time. I was coming back filled with the power of God. God had healed. God had cast out demons. And I was sweating and tired. And when I walk in, I see my daughter, my baby daughter, the blood gushing out of her head. Her mother didn't know what to do. I got a towel and I put it on her head and I'm pressing down. And I'm praying, Father, close this in the name of Jesus. Lord, here I come from home in a revival with you, Lord. Healing the sick, casting out demons. And my daughter, Lord God. And then all of a sudden, I take it off. And the blood said, I said, here we go to the hospital. We go get on the elevator and go downstairs. And I'm holding that on there. All of a sudden, I said, how you feeling, baby? She said, oh, Papi, I don't feel nothing. I said, oh, it's worse now. She must have got a concussion or something. And she said, Papi, I don't feel nothing. We don't have to go to the hospital. I said, when you don't feel nothing, everything is numb. That means you're going to pass out. And I'm pressing down. And I say, Lord, she said, Papi, I don't feel nothing. The third time I take the towel off and I look and I look and I look. And the scar has closed. That was her experience with the Lord. Because each individual needs a personal experience with the living God. God is not real. And why I testify? I testify for the glory and honor of God because she's there.
as a living witness. And they serve the Lord. Why? Because God has given us power over all the powers of the enemy. We should not criticize our children when they're down and out. When the enemy is dragging them through the mud. It's time for us to pray for them and ask the Lord to set them free. Because many of us have had children here. My kids, some of them had departed and then they came back. I departed and the Lord brought me back. I thank God. And I was saying that Mother Diaz, when she used to see me, I was so embarrassed because I had backslid from the Lord. And when she used to see me, she would look and I would hide behind the car because I was embarrassed. Because I loved her so much. And she would see me and she wouldn't just walk away. Like, she would say, Angelo? ¿Qué hace ahí? You understood that? ¿Qué hace ahí? That's in Spanish. What are you doing there? And I said, nothing. Then I straightened up. A man already. A man already. But the respect. But she never looked at me in a different form. She used to point at me and say, remember, God called you. And she would walk away. And it would stay in my subconscious. That's what God does with a servant of the Lord. We never look down at a person's family, their children, because we have children also. We need to be able to pray one for another. And maybe I should not touch this little subject, but you don't have to invite me back. But we have a problem with prayer sometimes, that we pray for certain people and not other people. There's a lot of problem with homosexuality. And we don't pray for them because we think that God doesn't want them. No, God doesn't want the act. But He loves the individual. God does not love the act of a drug addict, but He loves the individual. He doesn't like the gangster, but He loves the individual. We have to be able to pray against what? Sin. That the enemy has brought into our lives. And he will try to shame you so that you will say, oh Lord, I'm a missionary, I'm a pastor, I'm the bishop. You're making me look bad. Look at my son. Later for you. It's not about you. It's about that young man or that young lady that is in bondage that needs to be set free. It's about God's mercy and God's love in your life for your own person or that other person that God puts in your way as you're walking through the streets. He may not be your related to, but that's a soul that God loves. He may not love the act, but He loves the individual. God is on a journey to set the captives free, to cast out the demons in whatever manifestation they may have. Blessed be God. Are you following me today? I got daughters. I got 8 daughters. Thank God that none of them are in prostitution. But they could have been. They're beautiful. There are a lot of young ladies out there in that condition. That sometimes we look at them like if they were nothing. No, those are souls that need to be set free in the name of the Lord. That immoral sexual spirit got to be what? Cast out in the name of the Lord. When you are real with yourself, and I'm going to close it up with this. When you are real with yourself, you are real with God. When your love is for everyone, like Jesus loved the Samaritan woman, when nobody else loved her, nobody else wanted her, when everybody else wanted to stone her and kill her, Jesus said, I love you anyhow. Where are those that accuse you? Because Christ came to set the captives free, to give us power over all, not some, all the powers of the enemy. The enemy comes to rob and to destroy. But Jesus comes to set us free. There is nothing greater than that. I believe and I thank God for the last 50 odd years that the Lord saved me and filled me with His Holy Spirit. And I break away. I'm a rebel with a cause. I am a rebel with a cause to be able to set the captives free. I am a rebel like my Jesus. That He loved everyone, but He rebelled against the enemy. And the things that were there that were holding the people back. And today people are confused. They don't know which way to go. What denomination to go. What church to go. And they're looking because everyone continuously look. But when you and I give them Jesus. Not the church Jesus. The man Jesus. The one that Paul says, if you know me according, know Jesus according to the flesh, you don't know Him that way no more. Jesus has risen from the dead. And He goes before us. Right now, I left Him in New York. But He says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to go with you. I thank God that He's all over at the same time. I thank God that He's that real, that He's here right now. And I just want to talk to you to let you know that there's no power on earth that could stop you if you put your hand in the hand of God. When you feel the enemy, oh, hear voices, tell them to go in the name of the Lord. Even if you think they belong to the Lord, test the spirits. And say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. If it belongs to God, it ain't going nowhere. If it ain't God that it tries to come to you, to fool you and deceive you, it has to go in the name of Jesus. Pray for the dreams that you have. Don't just get up and say, I had a dream. Rebuke the dream in the name of Jesus. Let your subconscious be set free in Jesus' name so that your life will start to be molded by the Spirit of God. Even if the dream is good. Because you know there are some ugly dreams that people think they're good. I ain't going to mention what they are because this is not the play, but maybe in a class we will. But those dreams got to be rebuked also. Because they're dreams of the flesh. The fallen nature of man. God is on a journey still. Well, in the last days where God is preparing His people so that we could go home. So that we could go home and live in peace. The Lord is going to give us that blessing. We are saved by grace and not by works. But you better get on and do some work. God don't like lazy people. Those that don't work, don't eat. So you better do something. Because if you don't do something, you're going to lose it. ¿Comprende? Si no hace algo, lo va a perder. Y si no tiene la bendición que viene de parte de Dios, la va a perder. Did you all understand that? I was speaking in tongues. How are you going to understand that? I was speaking in Puerto Rican tongues. I got to tell my brother, I speak 10 different languages. I speak Puerto Rican, I speak Dominican, I speak Mexican, I speak Cuban, I speak Spanish. Yeah, I speak Salvadoranian, Colombian, you see, Argentinian. You see, they all speak Spanish, right? I'm telling you. That's why Christ was Puerto Rican. Everybody want to claim Him. Some people think Christ was black because He had woolly hair like me. So I must be woolly, black. I'm high yellow, so nobody knows where I'm from. Makes no difference. God has made us very unique, hasn't He? Ain't we all beautiful the way God has made us? Yes. We got to be able to know that we are a gift of God. And the devil should not lie to you anymore. Every time you speak English or Spanish or any language, you speak sin and disobedience. Because that's where it comes out of the Tower of Babel. Where people disobeyed God, they all spoke one language. The hallelujah language. You heard me say that before, right? They speak the hallelujah language. How many knows how you say hallelujah in Spanish? How you say it in English? How you say it in German? I'm a Jew. Hallelujah. Whatever language is the only language that was left there so that we would know that we all spoke one language and we fell away from God. Oh, there's coming a day and it's very near right now that the Lord is coming to restore His people. The people that have been redeemed. See, the demons can't go to heaven with us. They're going to stay here. And God's going to burn this out. And then you're going to take all the demons and the prince of the devil himself, and cast them into the lake of fire. And we're going to come back to a new world. Restored by God. Yeah. See, the devil can't walk into heaven no more. He was cast out. And he's going to be cast out permanently. Ain't that amazing? There won't be no more pain. There won't be no more sickness. There won't be no more tears. There won't be no more ugly looks. We'll all be beautiful. I won't see some of you ugly people there. Because God's going to make you over. He's going to make me over. And you can't look like I look. Matter of fact, He's going to give you a new name. Even our names are going to be changed. It said that there's going to be a little stone. That stone is going to put a name that only you and your Father will know. Isn't that amazing? That's what that. I can't wait to get there. But I'm going to stay around a little longer just for you and my kids because they don't want me to go nowhere. But in the meantime, I want you to enjoy your Christ. He's not a religion. And with your Christ, you have the power over all the powers of the enemy. When you feel something negative or something, sickness or whatever, talk to it. Tell it to go in the name of the Lord. Go see a doctor, sure. See the doctor, let him give you. But when he's going to give you some pills because you're crazy, he says, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy because Jesus is in my life. You know, there was this young lady that was telling me the story, telling my wife and I the story that she's going through hard times. She's always had a good job and things, and she went to get welfare. And they told her, when you go to welfare, lie. Because that's the only way you're going to be able to get it. Because you will not be able to get the welfare if you tell the truth. Because they won't give it to you. They don't want to give it to you. So she said, oh, okay, that's a good thing. She said, the other people said, oh, yeah, we've done it. And she said, but God don't love lies. So she said, okay, I'm going to go. And the psychiatrist sits next to her and says, do you hear voices? And she says, yes, I do. What kind of voices do you hear? I hear voices that talk to me in my mind. And I feel it in my heart. And what do the voices say? And she said, the voice that says, Sandra, Sandra. He said, and what do you do when you hear the voices? I said, Jesus, I'm coming, Jesus. Because she hears the voice of the Lord. She said, I say, the doctor, he said, listen, you're crazy here. Go. She didn't have to lie. She hears the voice of the Lord. Do you hear the voice of the Lord? If you tell a doctor you're hearing the voice of the Lord, they're going to think you're crazy. But the Apostle Paul said that we are saved by the foolishness of the gospel.
That's right.
Watch it now. Let me leave it alone. Let me leave you alone, let you go to sleep. See, deliverance comes by you believing and trusting in the Word of God. Deliverance comes when you start to believe that the God that is in you is greater than the God that is in the world. Deliverance comes when you start to trust that the devil can't touch your finances. And when the Lord permits that your finances be touched, it's because He wants you to grow in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Because the Lord will always give you what you need. He said that He will supply what? All what? All our what? All our needs. He didn't say He's going to give you richness and gold and everything. Needs. You need a pair of shoes? He's going to give you a pair of shoes. But if you got three pairs of shoes, why you want another pair of shoes? If you got three suits, why you need another fourth suit? Wait a while. He said He'll provide all your needs. But we're thinking that needs is silver and gold. You don't want a little Toyota. You want a Mercedes Benz. I like them too, but God said He'll provide all our needs. When we start to be faithful to the Lord in the little things, God's going to put us above all the big things. So I want to pray. And I like to pray to allow you to believe that the Word of God is that strong. You see, many of us have lost the Lord's blessings because we're chasing after all the evangelists and everybody else to be lay hands on us. When Jesus is already laying hands on you through faith in your Word. When you believe this right now, you can lay hands on yourself. God gave you two beautiful hands. And tell the enemy, you got to go. Spirit of poverty, of drunkenness, of drugs, of sexuality, whatever the problem might be. Self-justification, because there are those that think they're better than everybody else. They're more holy than God. And they don't have mercy for anybody else. That's spirit of pride. Got to go in the name of Jesus. When you start to look, even in the church, you find that. You got to look into yourself. I look into myself every day. I'm still looking into myself. Every day I want God to break my mold, to make me over. I need that. Because without that, I don't have the true God. You have the power and the authority to make yourself over every day. Every day. Renew your spirit. Renew your joy. And that's what I want to pray for. So that you could go home and put that into practice, knowing that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Believe it with all your heart. And if He's not in there, invite Him in. Call Him in. Lock yourself in your room and pray and say, Lord, come into my heart and make me holy because You are holy. Without You in me, I'm not holy. Blessed be the Holy Spirit of the living God. Holy Father, in the blessed name of Jesus. As we come together, O Lord God, believing and trusting that You have given us authority, over all the principalities, Lord God. And when we challenge he that tries to destroy us, Lord, he will challenge back. But you have told us, submit ourselves unto thee. We're going to resist the devil, and he's going to flee from us in the name of Jesus. I'm tired of running, Lord. I stop here. I run no more, and I resist him in the name of Jesus. I command him to be gone right now, Holy Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name, I release your promises in his face. Right now, Lord God, that no weapon formed against us could prosper. I come against every principality, Lord God. Mend the broken hearts. Lord God, give restoration. Oh, Father, right now, uplift those that are fallen. Lord God, reach out to their families right now in the name of your Holy Son. The way you have touched my family, touch theirs. The way you have kept my family and keep them, Lord, keep theirs. Lord God, the same blessing that Jesus put upon us, we put upon our brothers, our friends, our neighbors, and everyone we meet in our journey through life. In whose name? In Jesus' name. Let it be done to the glory and honor of whose name? Jesus' name. God bless. May the Lord continue to be with us. And I hope that next time they give me a little bit more time in telling me that I'm going to preach. When they called me last night on the way as we're getting here. Say, and get ready, tomorrow you're going to open up. But thank God for the privilege. And may the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you, your family, and everyone you meet in your journey through life. God bless.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.